You are listening to Lealure. Make sure that you are seated in a comfortable position with your headphones on for the best effects. As always, avoid driving and/or operating heavy machinery while listening to the sound of my voice.
You know, I wish I were the kind of person who could start off by telling you a story about me making another audio and have that impact you as profoundly as Erickson's could impact somebody. But I would, in fact, today, like to do something a little more traditional with you. So, I'd like to tell you a little story called The Maple Tree. So we can think of trees in our experience, maybe a tree standing alone, perhaps a tree living among other trees, maybe in a vast forest. Maybe you think of a tree in a vast forest or standing alone. And I don't know, after all, trees are just trees. And I've always wondered why people make so much of trees, likening the mighty oak to who knows what. I can only imagine. You can go deep. At any rate, not so long ago, it was a blustery autumn in a forest in a grove of ordinary maple trees, where the crows caught above and lower down squirrels jumped from tree to tree. I can tell you this did not happen in Florida. Florida does not really have squirrels the way they do up in New England, for example. And also far fewer maple trees. Seeds were blowing down from the maple trees. You can go deep. And like most seeds, the vast majority of them didn't sprout or take root, but got eaten or discomposed on the floor of the forest. But one seed landed on an old log. You can go deep. And just stayed there, and eventually became covered by the snows of winter, and there it lay, unnoticed by deer and rabbits. In the spring, the seed was still there. It swelled with moisture and sprouted, and a tiny root crept down into the damp, rich, rotting wood of the old log. And slowly it grew, a seedling, with scrawny branches and little green leaves that stretched towards the sun. And it continued to grow, and years passed. You can go deep. And the rich and fertile soil allowed it to survive drought, and somehow the animals never ate it. And twice, during forest fire, rain blew in and saved it at the last minute. In the fall, this mature tree's green leaves turned a yellow-orange and then a burning red. In the winter, the maple tree slept, just like all the other trees, and just like insects in the logs and the chipmunks underground, dormant, resting for winter. Birds sat up high in the tall branches, you can go deep, and winter continued on. One day, the unbearable weight of the snow caused a huge branch to break off. The sharp sound cracked through the forest, but then spring came, and the green leaves came out again, and the sap flows through the tree. Birds and insects and birds live in and around the tree, and animals run down below. One summer day, a bolt of lightning crashes into the tree and splits it up near the top. But the seasons continue on, and the tree continued to put down seeds of its own, and the roots thrust deep in the soil, roots intermingling with other roots deep below the ground. You can go deep. And I don't know how deeply entranced you can find yourself going. I don't know how easy it becomes for you to find yourself letting go of time and sensation. I don't know how simple it is for your brain to just realize that it becomes easy and effortless for your unconscious self to realize that you can lose yourself in any of the stories that I tell you or in any of the things that I say. When you find yourself waking up in the morning and you put your feet on the floor, and perhaps the first thing you do is either go pee or go do some exercise. Maybe you're not fully, completely awake, aware, and autonomous then. Maybe you need to go and fill up your coffee mug with something strong and caffeinated. Maybe you need to have something that at that moment will, in fact, wake you up powerfully. Or maybe you're the kind of person who just gets up and out of bed and does whatever you need to because Your brain doesn't require caffeine. Whichever kind of person you are, one or the other, or something else indeed, perhaps you can discover that it's easy to get more comfortable, and that the things that I say don't have to make sense to you on a conscious level. You may have experiences, some that are really memorable, some not so, some that are pleasant and good, and others that we may not recall. Just like dreams, everyone has them, and many we forget by the time we wake up, and other times we may remember only a small part of that dream. I know that with very few exceptions, most of my dreams I'm very aware of as I'm waking up, and then, poof, they're just gone. So when you find yourself getting up out of bed, it can feel really good. But what would happen if you slept on your arm most of the night, and that arm was still asleep long after you woke up? Maybe it was tucked under your pillow. Maybe it just got bent in a weird position. Maybe it's similar to when one of your legs falls asleep when you sit cross-legged, and when you try to get up to walk, the leg still has a strong tingling sensation and maybe you limp a little bit. Or maybe it was just a numbness, I forget. I remember back in grade school, a teacher said, "It's your ears I'm talking to," which seemed rather curious at the time, how your ears could be separated from the rest of you. When the teacher was speaking, I would often just drift off, maybe listening to a word here or a word there, sometimes paying attention to this or that. And when she would look at me, or maybe it was the person next to me, I would snap out of it for a moment or two, and then I would resume daydreaming. One time in class, I remember that I was sitting on a chair behind the table, legs crossed, and sometimes one leg would fall asleep as I drifted off, and one time, both legs fell asleep, which can be very different from the kind of detachment a person feels when absorbed in a movie or some other interesting experience where you lose track of time. One time I had my hand raised way up in the air because I wanted to answer the teacher's question, and that hand just stayed up there, in the air, on its own, for the longest time. That same teacher would often tell us stories. I don't know what she intended by all these stories, and I must admit, lots of times I didn't catch her drift, and from what I can remember, she would usually start out these stories by saying, "Today I'll be speaking to your third ear." Yes, third ear is what she actually said, and I wonder about it to this day, and that I can still hear her voice. One day the teacher was telling us about someone she knew. I think she called them Sam. Years ago it happened, and even today I can recall only a portion of the story. Sam was a young child then, and it happened in another state, away from the city, and there was forest all around, and Sam had lost something along a country road. Somehow it fell out of the car, and the car moved on, and time and distance separated them from that thing. It was probably a matter of hours and some minutes before they went back to look for it, riding a bike, and by then it was very late in the afternoon. Up ahead on the road, they saw their thing, and by now they were so deep in the woods, and their legs were so tired from pedaling that they had hardly any feeling in them at all. And they eagerly began to bend down to pick it up. Their thing seemed to assume a life of its own, as if it had suddenly been jerked away from their grasp. Some children had yanked it away on a string, just a prank. But they always wondered what those children were doing way out there. They eventually got their thing back, and they didn't mind a bit. Riding back down that country road, they held their object tightly, out there on the handlebar, whose grip on the right side had fallen off, and a spoke was missing on the front wheel, although they didn't notice those things until much later. By now it was growing increasingly dark, and their rate of breathing had changed considerably. They held out their hand in front of their face, that they could barely see at all. They slowed down on that road, feet moving on the pedals all by themselves, and it was almost as if those feet belonged to somebody else. And as they looked down at their feet, they could not remember an evening quite as dark as this one. Had it not been a familiar road, it would have been easy to lose their way. They continued down the road of life. One evening at a state fair, they ate cotton candy and saltwater taffy, but not at the same time. They remembered pulling apart a piece of saltwater taffy, long and slow, and the sweetness dissolved in their mouth slowly, but not as quickly as the cotton candy, which they ate faster. They didn't even realize they were down to the paper cone, and then they noticed all the little sugar crystals in the last drop of sweetness. Way too many little crystals to count, even if they could have bothered to do so. In a high school class, they wrote a report on the separation of church and state, and somehow this reminded them of the chain on the bike. Not the chain to lock up the bike, but rather the chain that propelled them forward. Each vital segment linked to the next, and of course with any chain, if one section becomes separated from the piece in front or the piece in back, a disconnection occurs, which is something a person realizes sooner rather than later. After college, they worked as an engineer for one of the smaller oil companies, which grew bigger with the passage of time, and eventually its stock split 2-for-1, and then the company broke away from its parent company and became its own entity, and later it merged with yet another company, but the merger was challenged by the attorneys who argued that a law had been broken. They questioned whether the spirit, if not the letter, of some law had been breached, but through it all they kept their job. They appreciated the fact that they let them work very independently. At work, they had a good deal of autonomy, and they would sometimes become inattentive or distracted, for example, becoming immersed or absorbed in things like how water can be separated into hydrogen or oxygen, or the separation of molecules or electrolytes into constituent parts, or isolating or extracting something from a compound or mixture, or even more everyday things like how oil separates from water, or a fork in the road, or the meaning of a wall, or a fence, that separates one house from another. This got them thinking about a whole range of concepts involving space and time, as well as imaginary connections or dotted lines on the company's organizational chart. But time for them, as they continued down that road, went on slowly and sometimes quickly. The longer they went on, they realized that time on a clock did not matter much anyway. Many things left behind were now just pleasant memories or forgotten about altogether. Perhaps what you can discover is that as you find yourself awaking, lifting your head off the pillow, putting your feet on the floor and going about your day, finding yourself perhaps going to get that coffee from that coffee mug, and realizing as you pour whatever it is into that coffee mug, that there's a part of you in that mug. Think about how fascinating that is. Perhaps in that mug there's a part of you that wakes you up. There's a part of you that warms you up. There's a part of you that gets you going. There's a part of you that kick-starts the drive that exists inside you. However it is that you find yourself getting up, after you get up, when you realize that your legs have stopped tingling, and you can drop down deeper now, you can let your mind drift and dream. And maybe as you find your mind drifting and dreaming, perhaps you can remember something you've mastered in the past, a hard task that you've mastered in the past. Perhaps first learning to write the letters of the alphabet, no doubt a hard thing to do. And at first someone took your hand and helped point the way. And as you gradually did it yourself, perhaps your whole body went into forming those letters. Maybe you even stuck out the tip of your tongue as you concentrated on doing it just right. As it becomes easier for you, soon you use just your hand, and then gradually you're able to write easily with just the thumb and first finger, or true to your writing hand. And with practice, your aim between the lines or wherever you wrote was good, and the whole thing became easy, smooth, automatic. And you didn't have to stop and think anymore what side the stick was on for the letter D or B. Did the stick go up or down for a P? And how many legs does an M have? Is a 3 just an M on its side, or is a 6 an upside-down 9, or the other way around? One time a man made both letters and numbers with wooden matchsticks because they stayed in position longer than paper matches. Odd things that people do. I think it was the same person who said that organic chemistry was the hardest thing they had ever mastered. It can be so very pleasant and comfortable to relax, relaxing your mind and your body. When you come in here, you perked up your mind, much like you do when you drink from that coffee mug early in the morning, paying close attention to everything, and then you let your mind relax, and you let your mind wander, And your body, too, sometimes it's alert and aroused, and other times those muscles just relax or fall asleep. Noticing the contrast, not unlike asleep and awake, or tense and relaxed, or day or night. And isn't it interesting that while your muscles relax, your bones can remain rigid and strong, or else you'd fall over just like everybody else? Strong skyscrapers with those steel poles are certainly rigid, but even they have some flexibility to maintain their structure if the earth begins to quake. People who build strong buildings should be proud of their work, and no doubt you can think back on things in the past, maybe recently, maybe long ago, when you were successful in accomplishing something, maybe big, maybe small, and there's nothing like feeling good, feeling proud at what you've done. Think for a moment about sports, even though nobody's playing any right now, at least professionally. Sports has gotten so specialized, and people play their position for a shorter length of time, and maybe they even play harder as a result. More and more often, players get a nice rest, which they appreciate, and as a result, they come back harder and stronger once they're back in the game. I wonder what kind of game you can find yourself in right now. I wonder what your unconscious mind can do as it calibrates what it is that you're capable of doing in the past and matches that to what it is that you can find yourself thinking about doing right now. I wonder how very simple it becomes for your unconscious self to just accept that when you find yourself dropping deeply into trance, that perhaps you find yourself focused attention-wise on something. Maybe a spot on the wall, maybe the sound of my voice, maybe the way your body feels. Maybe you find some kind of tingling going on. But you can notice that your body begins to feel heavier and heavier, and it feels good to allow your unconscious self to simply make sure that your breathing matches whatever else is going on with you. To let yourself drop down more and more deeply into trance, and to allow your body to simply accept that you can go more deeply into trance at any time. And maybe your unconscious mind can calibrate how simple it is for you to know the difference between being wide awake and being deeply in trance. Sometimes a hypnotist might say something like, go twice as deeply down, or go 100 times more here, or feel 1,000 times more pleasure, or be 100 times more rigid than you were. And a lot of times, in fact, most times, people say to me things like, I have no idea what that means. I cannot tell you what it means to go twice as deeply into trance. What I say when people tell me that is that you, on a conscious level, may not be able to figure that out, but your unconscious mind knows just how much effort it takes to get you from where you are to being wide awake, because your unconscious mind does that every day when you wake up. So because your unconscious mind can tell how much effort it will take to get you from where you are to wide awake, it knows that it can double the depth of your trance at any given moment. Because your unconscious mind can tell how much effort and energy it requires for you to feel better or worse about a thing, it can allow you to do that, to double it or to half something, without a conscious need to worry about that at all. So allow your unconscious self right now to realize how good it feels to be paid attention to, how nice it is for you to hear the sound of my voice, how simple it is for you to drop down more deeply right now, whether or not you go twice as deeply or 10 times as deeply or 1,000 times more deeply into trance right now, and for you to allow your unconscious self to feel fantastic. And as your unconscious mind feels fantastic, perhaps all of you can feel a little bit more fantastic right now. Whether you find yourself in a state where you need to obey and you must give in and you have to surrender, whether you find that the sound of my voice has brainwashed you and made you desperately need to obey me more, or whether you find yourself simply relaxing and enjoying that state of whatever it is that you get when you find yourself deeply in trance? Can you hold on to that while you bring yourself up when I count from 1 to 10? Can you notice how fantastic it becomes for your mind to just accept that it is simple and easy for you to hear the sound of my voice, to give in a little bit more every single time, for you to realize that you don't need to pay attention on any conscious level to the things that I say, unless, of course, it's at the beginning or the end and I tell you to. But rather that your unconscious mind can do all the calibration that you need to let you pay attention just enough, to let you respond as deeply and fully as possible, to allow you to get a good night's sleep whenever your head hits that pillow, to allow you in the morning when you get up and you take your head off the pillow and your feet hit the floor, whether or not you find yourself going to have anything in a coffee mug or not. Or maybe you've given up coffee and you decide to smash that mug on the floor and dance around, careful, don't cut your feet, to feel how fantastic it is to liberate yourself. What if all the things about your world and about your life that you are sick and tired of were in a coffee mug? You could put them all in there, and you could stand up, hang out a window, and see a big trash bin below. And the trash bin has some pieces of stone in it, just for good measure. And you take that coffee mug and you throw it down with all the things that you didn't like about yourself in it. And the coffee mug and all the things that were in it end up in that trash can, smashing against the rocks and obliterating every last bit of them. I don't know what it is that your unconscious mind might think if you could find yourself imagining that, but I bet it would be fantastic for you. So give in and sink down more and more deeply right now. Come all the way up on the count of 10, feeling fantastic. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. All the way back. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.